And we have got Chris White on the line to talk about the right to strike. Welcome, Chris.
Good morning. Yes, I've been working. I'm retired now, and I've got a blog, chriswhiteonline.org, where I write about why we need to revive the strike. I think the problem at the moment is that working people haven't got much power. It's very difficult to transform Australia if we haven't got a right to strike. And at the moment, there's so many restrictions and repression of industrial action that it's very difficult for ordinary workers to win any fair play at the moment.
All right. Just briefly, what are those current restrictions on strikes?
Well, part of the problem is that there are literally hundreds and hundreds of restrictions, so it would take me hours to go through it all. But, for example, it's very, very restricted only to what is called enterprise bargaining. Anything outside of enterprise bargaining is unlawful. So, for example, I worked for the unions for 30 years and was Secretary of the United Trades and Labour Council of South Australia. And at a state basis and also nationally, we would be able to organise national strikes, to win wage increases. And then once some industries won that wage increases, then other workers would go on strike to get the flow on. But at the moment, any national bargaining across industry bargaining, is unlawful. And the employers have their corporate lawyers ready to penalise unions and workers. So, in fact, these days, unions don't even organise national strikes. Sometimes even when you have a very restricted lawful strike and you set up a picket, which is a normal way to enforce your demands, the courts automatically say that pickets are unlawful, and so they have judges injuncting you to get off the picket line.
Make way for the scabs.
Make way for the scabs. And the only way to do that, well, there's ways, which I won't go into now, perhaps another program of organising around that. At the moment, for example, when the governments, which happens all the time, are attacking workers' rights, then we have not got the legal right to go on a protest. So unless the employer agrees, which is hardly not at all, then we haven't got the right to associate, to combine together, to take off even, say, a half a day without being penalised. Now, the problem is that some unions get attacked constantly, for example, in the building industry. So the building unions always, when they take whatever form of industrial action, and it might actually be very, very minor, just yelling at a boss, for example, somebody's been killed at work and the union organiser is called on but doesn't do the proper paperwork, then they get fined by the employers and by the ABCCC, the government's institution, to try and crush the unions. And they face, the unions and the workers face thousands and thousands of dollars of fines. Now, the thing is that this has been going on now for years. It was the whole regime, which is very, very complicated. Even when you have a right to strike and you have a lawful strike and you have a ballot, then the courts can still order you to go, you know, back to work. And so it's most unfair and gives all the balance of power to the already more powerful employers. I mean, the employers are already powerful. So what we need to do is to make sure that the law is changed. Now, this is quite difficult. Originally, all these, you know, provisions, there were literally hundreds of them, came in under work choices. But when the Rudd and Gillard government first came in, both Rudd and Gillard and the unions decided not to take up this issue of the right to strike, and they left all the repression, all the fines, in the legislation. So we've still got in the so-called Fair Work Act this repressive regime, one of the worst in the world, that takes away the right to strike. So the only way that we can do that is to make sure that ordinary workers and unions, both left-wing unions and right-wing unions, campaign when there's a new parliament to change the law to have a proper right to strike. And this right to strike should be the right to strike full stop, without any limitations. Whenever workers decide to go on strike, they can withdraw their labour without being subject to being fined or being sacked or any other penalties. No penalties at all. That's what I mean by the right to strike.
Yeah, I was looking at your blog, and you talk about this firewall clause. Can you tell us a bit about a legal sort of firewall?
Well, the firewall clause, you'd have to understand labour law. So that, for example, what happens is they say, everybody, all the politicians, whether Labour or Liberal, everybody always says, oh, yes, we agree with the right to strike. And then they write the laws to put in very severe, you know, restrictions. You have to do A, B, C, D, E, F, G. And if you don't do G properly, then the strike is unlawful. So the only way to do that is to make sure that corporate lawyers who get paid $1,000 an hour don't have the ability to stand up in front of a judge and say, look, they didn't give the proper notice, or they didn't give, you know, 3 days notice or something, or they didn't fill in a form, and therefore the whole thing is unlawful, and therefore, you know, the union could be fired. So a firewall is to make sure that no employer or no government or no lawyer can actually stop the right to strike. And the extent of it, I think, has been accepted for years but never been put into practice, is that people should have the broad ability to withdraw their labour on any issue whatsoever. So it's not only of workplace issues, but any economic and social policy questions, and in fact of any issue, any unfairness, any, you know, demands of any kind which are of direct concern to the workers and, you know, to the unions. And if we don't have that right to strike as a basic freedom, then we're no more than just slaves, or, you know, we're getting into, you know, what the fascists did to make sure that people don't have any rights whatsoever.
Yeah, I just want to ask question. We'll make a quick comment and then sort of lead it into a kind of question. But I guess one of the things with, I guess, our current laws is, you know, within debates about the left, you know, you can argue that, you know, maybe unions should just, you know, break the laws. But I think there is, I think, a problem with just simply saying that, because basically there's only a few unions, very few unions that are actually in the position to break the laws. For example, the CFMU, the ETU, the ones that have a massive membership and have, you know, lots of money to basically pay off the fines. And I think, I guess, one of the implications, I guess that leads to the question, what do you think would be the implications of, you know, if we were to win or even to change the laws to basically have the right to strike institutionalized, would it give, you know, a basis for, you know, some of the more smaller, more probably a bit more conservative unions to actually adopt more kind of radical action in defence of, you know, defence of increased wages or even political demands?
Yes, I think I agree with everything that you've said there. That's well put. It is very difficult. A lot of workers in the unions at the moment can take what is called unprotected action, but then you just risk the employer or even the government coming in after the strike, even if you win it, of prosecuting and fining, you know, the union. even if you have a right to strike, a legal strike, that is, you don't have any restrictions whatsoever, it's not easy to organise a strike. But I agree with what you say. It means that, say, for example, if you're in a workplace and it's absolutely obvious to everybody there that the employer, for, say, for example, for years has been most unfair and, you know, repressive, racist even, the way they treat the workforce, and, you know, the workers are sick and tired of it all and they have a meeting. Now, even having a meeting is an unlawful sort of activity. They have a meeting and they decide... They discuss things and they decide to take some industrial action to negotiate with the boss to back off because of the unfairness, then they will be allowed to do that. At the moment, they're not allowed to do it. That is, it's unlawful, unless it's bargaining during an enterprise agreement. So on any issue that comes up, then they would be able to take some action. And as you said, some of the unions who at the moment are not able to or feel they can't organised strikes would be able to at least sit down. When I started working with the unions, and it was a different era, this was in the 60s and the 70s, there wasn't a week that went by when we didn't have industrial action. That is, although there was an arbitration system which solved the dispute rather than fining unions, we were able to take industrial action, even though it was unlawful at the time. We weren't repressed. It was accepted that people would be able to withdraw their labour, and the main idea was just to settle the dispute. What were the grievances? Let's get to stuck into that, rather than using laws to say you can't strike, you know, whatsoever. So I think that people would be free, you know, to bargain, and they could bargain over any issues. I mean, at the moment, for example, say over environmental issues, not allowed to strike over environmental issues. You know, the question of a lot of unions want to, you know, debate and take industrial action to improve the, you know, conditions in the workplace, unless that is for enterprise bargaining. We're not allowed to do that. So what we've got to make sure is that the actual right to withdraw our labour power, under any circumstances, at any time, is not subject to fines, not subject, you know, to the courts, you know, coming in. Now, I think if that was to happen, and it's a very big if, because you have to convince the Parliament to change the law, then we would have a better opportunity to improve wages, to solve the problem of insecure work. And in fact, I think this is a basic democratic issue, because the strike in the end of the day is one of the only means that workers have to have some sort of power to win our demands. I mean, even if you have a strike, it doesn't mean to say that you win. I mean, we were always in the unions brought up to say, never start a strike unless you're going to win. Make sure that you are able to. And I think if we were able to win more strikes, then you'd be able to unionise more people. I mean, overseas, for example, I mean, things these days are so bad with the capitalist order and the attacks by governments on workers' rights, that in many countries there's not only strikes going on, but general strikes across the board. Now, people probably don't realise that back in the 70s, we had a one-day national strike when Fraser tried to take away Medicare. So at the moment, we should be able to, if we had the confidence, if we have the right to strike, we'd have the confidence to not only organise in our industry, but to organise nationally. And then we could put on some proper pressure on the government on some of these big issues when they try to take away healthcare or don't fund education or all the other issues that are of major concern to the working class at the moment.
All right. And now, it seems like a bit of a chicken and egg scenario, because it's a big reform for the Parliament to implement. The ALP right aren't stupid. They know what a right to strike would mean for their allies and donors at the big end of town. So how do we win this reform when we know that the conservative wing of, like, in your blog, you talk about a proper reforming Labor Party and the Greens implementing this kind of reform and bringing in the right to strike. But it seems like a bit of a chicken and egg scenario, because it would need to be quite a powerful social movement that actually forces the parliament to implement this a reform like this.
Well, I think I probably should just let you let everybody think about that, because what you said is exactly, you know, correct. I don't think this is going to occur unless unions, that is all unions, both left and right, the ACTU has good policies. There's nobody I know, even if you ask the Labor Party people, even the right wingers, though everybody agrees with the right to strike, but when it actually comes to it, they are dead scared of the campaign that the employers and the right wing will run against them. So it is extremely difficult. I mean, it does raise that issue of whether we could organise collectively enough people to start trying to take industrial action to actually force these issues. But I must say it is very, very difficult, and I'm raising it because unless we have it on the agenda to have a huge social movement. I mean, there was a time when there was enough industrial action, enough people in unions, when we could, for example, having a national stoppage when Clary O'Shea defied the then penal powers and was taken to jail, and there was enough industrial action, national stoppages, to force the issue and make sure he was released. And after that, because there was so much industrial action, the employers, even though the law wasn't changed at the time, the employers decided, well, we won't take any action against strikes. We have to get back to that idea of a strike is always relatively legitimate, and the question is to sit down and negotiate the grievances and look at the issues of why people are on strike. But I must agree with you that, say, for example, I've been involved in this, well, going back 40 years, but I won't go back that far, but, for example, when Kevin Rudd came into government, I remember just prior to that, when he was in opposition, he stood up in Parliament, gave a big speech saying, oh, we agree with the right to strike. As soon as he got in, he made the opposite speech and said, no, that we're going to keep these, you know, restrictions on strikes. And so it was very, very difficult. And the same thing actually happened when Bill Shorten was the industrial relations minister as well. Now, any Labor Party MP would come on this program and say, yes, I agree with the right to strike, but in practice, they haven't actually had the, you know, had the ability or the guts to stick to their principles and make sure that these reforms came in. And I must say, it would, as you said, require a social movement, a union movement of some considerable strength to be able to do that. I'm partly enthused because everybody's, you know, debating this. Sally McManus, when she was quizzed on TV, immediately said, well, we've got the right to break unfair laws. And that raised that whole question of the right to strike. And everywhere you go where there is industrial action taken, you can draw conclusions. I mean, one of the things under a right to strike would mean that an employer shouldn't have the right to lock out. I mean, the purpose of the right to strike is because a normal average person or average worker would recognise that the employers, the corporates, particularly our big multinationals, have so much power that the only way to counter that is to have the worker to have the ability, you know, to withdraw your labour. And this was accepted, really, under the old arbitration system, even though it was unlawful. You could go on strike because you knew that you'd sit around in the arbitration system and the matter would be settled. Now, that doesn't happen. What happens is you get the courts involved and the lawyers come in, injunctions are made, and then workers are threatened and the unions are fined. So if we don't really raise and debate these issues, as you get it, then we're no different than being slaves or no different from like a fascist type of society where we have no civil rights, no political rights.
All right. Well, good work keeping it on the radar. And, yeah, we'll have to wrap it up because we've got a bit more news to cover and another interview coming up. But, yeah, thanks for talking with us this morning.
No, well, that's fine. I'm just raising it on the question. And I've actually written many, many articles on it, chriswhiteonline.org, and I've been involved in trying to grapple with these problems for over 30 years because of the problem that the law isn't good enough and we should have a basic right to withdraw our labour without having any penalties. Okay, thanks very much. That's all good.
All right. Thanks, Chris.
Thanks very much. Bye-bye.